Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I am your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here on Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio on today, February the 12th, 2019. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth out the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. God is our Lord. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casted down the wicked to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with the clouds. He prepared rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandments upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoary frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So we thank God. We know it is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so, so saith the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations, the third chapter. So it's good to be here. And again, welcome to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and all of our Instagram followers. So it's good to be here one more time with Truth on Block Talk Radio. So being able to look into the Word of God, being able to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. And so that is a blessing to be able to do so. And so there is, we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we thank God. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. And so we thank God for our position in him as baptized believers. So he made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're not trying to get there, but we're there right now. So that is our position. He is the head of the church, which is his body. And so thank God that we're living in the time that we are. God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, saith the Hebrew writer, spoken unto us by his Son. So thank God that we are in the New Testament church. And so some people want to bring the prophets back, but that is that would be doing violence to the scriptures. So we thank God that we are in the New Testament church. And so all we have to do is obey God. No one can stand in the way of our blessing as laid out before the Lord. And so we thank God that we are able to be here on this evening. So we have been in a series of Only Believe. And so this is part 15. We've been talking about end time signs. And so should you desire to call in, if you have a question, if you have a comment, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. And so this is topic, the Godhead, and so only believe. And so this is what we need to do. Israel could not enter in because of unbelief. And so this is what the Lord don't want us to do, that we shouldn't fall under this, after the same example of unbelief, as he writes in the Hebrew book of Hebrews. And so that's why he went on to say, for the word of God is quick, which means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder to the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow. And he goes on to say, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, talking about the word of God. And he goes on to say, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. So thank God for his word, and God's word is synonymous with him. You can't separate from God from his word. And that's why the writer says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so in the beginning, God is the self same one. He cannot be separated from his word. So this is what we've been endeavoring to talk about, knowing that we are living in the last days. So people just want to know what is wrong with the world. Well, I tell you, they got the devil is using people. Like someone said, if he gets your mind, he will possess you and you will do what he says. So that's exactly what people are doing. So that you're hearing a voice telling you to do something stupid. It's not God, that's for sure. It's out of the pit of hell. And so there are devils. And so all kinds of things are going on. But thank God for his truth. And so the end of all things is at hand. So this is what we want to talk about. The church age is almost over. People are lying, killing, sinning, trying to cover up their deeds. So, but the end of all things, Peter said, is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. So he told us to watch and pray. So I know I've heard over the years some people say, yeah, the Bible says watch as well as pray. No, it don't. That's a play on words. It says watch and pray. That means it's equally important to watch as it is to pray. That's not just a benefit thrown in, but it is equally as important to watch and pray. So watch yourself, watch others, watch your own heart is what we have to do. Watch what is going on in the world. So we've been talking about end time signs. So we dealt with a lot. And this is the 15th part that we've been dealing with end time signs. And so just have to keep going. So there is so much going on as time is short. Apostle Paul was saying when he first started off, that's why he was saying redeeming the time because the days are evil when he first started writing. So in his prison epistle to the church, the Ephesian church, that was one of the things that he said when he was talking about things that we need to do as people. And then he was saying in the fifth chapter, because he was saying, he was going on saying that let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so this is what they say, things come to light, or it was made known, it was revealed. So things are being uncovered. So wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here it is right here, what I just said. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then he goes on to say, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be carried about with all other kinds of cares, but be filled, be led of the power, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Be led by Him. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, thinking, giving thanks unto always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. So this is what we have to do. And so as believers, so if we can focus on doing the things of God, and we won't be so caught up with all these other things. So much going on in the world, and many times things that are going on in the world are no more than a distraction or a smokescreen. Things, so much going on, so we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So not only just in the spirit world, but even in our governments in the world. And knowing Psalms 9 and 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I believe that's Psalms 9 and 17. Then Proverbs 14 and 34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So much is going on, and people are getting uncovered, and then they lie about it. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. So cameras are everywhere. So we as people of God the end of all things is at hand, as Peter is writing here. And so Peter talks about false prophets. John talks about, and he also talks about false teachers. John talks about false prophets and false teachers as well, because as I was going along, because we have been taught and we searched the scriptures over the years, that the signs of the times, the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 21st chapter of Luke, the 17th chapter of Luke, the 13th chapter of Mark, and so is chiefly places pretty much when they ask what's going to be the sign of your time, of your coming, and you know, the end of the world, and they ask these questions. And so some of them are actually a double reference prophecy, because we know Jerusalem was trodden down. Jerusalem was overthrown. Jerusalem was destroyed by General Titus. And so that did happen. So we know the temple is going to be rebuilt, as we had dealt with. The mystery of iniquity doth already work in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, talking about the man of sin. He's going to sit in the temple showing himself that he is God. So that lets us know that the temple is going to be rebuilt. Halfway through the tribulation period is 7 years, which the church triumphant is not going to be here in the earth. The St. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, that God hasn't called us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the church is not going to go through the tribulation period, period. Not 3.5 years, the 7 year period. We're not going to go through any of it. And that's what we've been trying to talk about. But some people think, oh, we're not going to go through the great tribulation. We're not going to go through none of it. That whatever tribulation we're having is right now. This is why God gave the signs that he did. I believe Isaiah 26 and 20, he's going to hide us from the Lord is going to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. So we have dealt with so many scriptures. So, and I'll just go over that again, because we talked about the difference. Okay, so the gospel, we've always said, is the death, burial, and resurrection, but go farther. It is the death. It is the burial. It is the resurrection. It is the ascension. It is sending back the Holy Ghost. It is the appearing to take the church out of here. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. And so this corrupt are going to put on incorruption. This mortal are going to put on immortality, like he said. And when this happens, this corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's why he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So these things are going to happen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And so we want to go here. This is very important. So Isaiah 26 and 19, thy dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Did you hear that? The earth is going to cast out the dead. Isaiah 26 and verse 20, come, my people, enter into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That is called the tribulation period. God is going to punish the inhabitants of the earth. And you read in the book of the Revelation, John pronounced a lot of woes, and some things are going to be so awful that John mentioned about that he told, the angel told John, don't write or write not. And so we know. So Second Timothy, the third chapter. So he talks about this is the last days. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous is troublesome times. By men being lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So a lot of people talking about they give honor to God, they living like a dog. I mean, you get up and get an award. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, but what about the rest of the time? You know, that's what Jesus was saying during his earthly ministry about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Say, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So that's, you know, lip service, that ain't going to do it. So that's why John was saying in his epistle, don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And Peter talks about having unfeigned love of the brethren, which means real love, which means genuine love when you have unfeigned love of the brethren. And so all of these things that are going on, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, because we are in the last days. And so we got to watch. So some people don't think he's coming, or they think he's going to come when they think he should come. But no, he let us know to look up for our redemption, draw it nigh when we see these things. And so it's not going to get any better. They don't know what to do. There's so much crime and so much killing and just stupidity and just some stuff that doesn't even make sense even to the world. But we know that we are living in perilous times. Like they said, Charles Dickens, the novelist, says, we are living in the worst of times. That was way back when he wrote. And so we're living in horrible times. Even when St. Paul wrote and Peter and all of them, all of the apostles are dead. And so there are no apostles. Apostles were eyewitnesses. They were chosen by the Lord. They were eyewitnesses. They were with him. And so they wrote the New Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation. They worked miracles. And they all died a horrible death except for John the apostle. And so that's why John said, he that knoweth God heareth us. And so us the apostles. And just like Andrew, when he said to him, when sawest thou me? And he was saying, before you were under that fig tree, I saw thee. It says, you're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see the heavens open hereafter. You're going to see the Son of Man ascending, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So you being an apostle is an eyewitness. And then not only that, it's the proof in the pudding. They wrote, and like Apostle Paul was talking about, he gave his authenticated himself. Am I not apostle? He said, have not I seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you not my work in the Lord? And so not only that, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, God called him to be an apostle. He wrote, and so the truth is the light. And so he went on to say about the other apostles, how they labored, how the Lord was seen above 500 brethren at once, above, you know, some have fallen asleep. And then he went on to say, and last of all, he was seen of me, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, who was born out of due time. And he went on to say how he labored more abundantly than they which were apostles before me. Then he went on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So he went on to say, whether I or they soul crisis preached, and soul ye believe. And so it blows my mind. I mean, it's when you think about it, but I'm not going to be moved, and then I don't get angry. You know, some people say things, but I know what I'm talking about. People did not start calling themselves apostles until the mid-90s when this foolishness started. So now, oh, my God, I mean, like the Bible said, there's 12 apostles of the Lamb. Their names are in the 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem. So if it's only 12, I'd like to know, where's everybody, anybody else's name at? That's the wall of the city, Revelation 21 and 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So anybody else, where their name at? So, I mean, good food for thought. Think about that. But thank God for his word. So his word is ever settled in heaven, the psalmist says. And so his word, the writer says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So, again, this is Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on this platform on Blog Talk Radio, Truth Ministry. And should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we know that we are in the last time, and so we have dealt with so much as we go on here. And so Peter, we're going to get into Peter, but here James, who is the brother of our Lord, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. So he says, be ye also patient. They taught us to pay very close attention to repetition. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So he goes on here, grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So he goes on here, take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So he goes on here. It's a very valid thing right here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, let him sing songs. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So what is that? You anoint the sick. So, I mean, yes, over the years I've seen where we anoint people for, you know, consecrate somebody to an office. You ordain elders, or you consecrate somebody to a special office, they anoint people. But not just anoint people all the time, because the power is not in the oil, but the power is in the name of the Lord. So it's in the name of Jesus where the power is. So he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So it's just not same thing over and over and over. No, pray. Because one thing about it, as believers, that's what he said, we may be able to comprehend with all saints in the third chapter of Ephesians, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's when he went on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So what is my point? You can never... If we're praying for each other, we're supplication, prayer and supplication being made for all saints, then That's what you exactly what it means. You're supplicating or you're praying for people. So in other words, you're not going to be able to lay your hands on everybody because you ain't going to, because that's not important if you're not praying specifically. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So we pray for people that we've never met. We're interceding and intervening and supplicating in the spirit. People may be in another country. We don't know who they are. And so, and it's not like people say, they, you could take the scripture out of context. Simon, Simon, in the 22nd chapter of Luke, Satan has desired you that he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So, that, you know, take that scripture and run off with it. Yeah, the Lord is praying for me. We, in the 8th chapter of Romans, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. He which searcheth the knoweth the mind of the Spirit, maketh intercession according to the will of God. So what is that saying? He told us that we should, in the 18th chapter of Luke, I believe it is, men should always pray, not to faint. So we should always pray for one another. And so the Holy Ghost is praying through people. So the Lord is the priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us according to the will of God. And so if we read, he is the great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's what it's all about. The ministry of Jesus Christ. He spoke to, in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The Hebrew writer says he has spoken unto us by his son. The office of sonship. He is the priest. And so he is the great high priest. That's why the writer says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What is he saying? The one we have, he can be touched. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. In Hebrews 4:16, that's why he said, let us therefore come boldly. So come with confidence unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we need the grace of God. And this is what Titus 2:11, I believe, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. What is it? What does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so that's why when I read the intro out of St. John, the first chapter, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So thank God for his grace. So that's why Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on to say, we are his workmanship. So Peter is writing here, letting us know that the end of all things is at hand. And so he goes on here, but the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7. So this is what we want to talk about on today. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And so too many times people are drunk on things, and they are. I mean, you ever heard people brag on what they got, what they're doing, and all that? No. Should be bragging on the Lord, what he can do and what he's going to do. Because Paul talked about the things that we see are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Because he was saying, we didn't bring nothing in this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. He says, having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. That's why he was saying godliness with contentment is great gain, which simply means it is not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. So, I mean, people are high-minded, just like he said. I mean, some people think they are above certain things, but we all flesh. That's what he said, all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof, surely the people is grass, Peter wrote. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, he's saying. And he said, this is the grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we have to realize who we are. And so nobody in their right mind want to be lost. As I used to tell people when I did prison ministry, people used to say, hell yeah, hell yes. And no, I said, you should be saying no to hell. Matthew 25:41, hell was created for the devil and his angels. And Jesus talked about where the worm dies not and the fires never quench. And so nobody in their right mind want to go there, but people are because they are doing their own thing. And then too many times people get won't come clean about what they are doing, and they lie so much, they keep telling lies, and they lie so much, and then they forget which lie that they did tell. And then so one thing about even the media, they got everybody, they got you on record. So when you are a politician, you are a star, as they say, or you're famous, then you are going to be on record. Everything you say, all they got to do is play the tape back. That's what God is going to do and always did in the judgment. It's, you know, it's not going to say, well, that wasn't me. Well, like I said to a guy that worked with me at General Motors one time, something he was doing, and I said to him, was that you or was that your ghost? No, that was you. So that's what God is going to do. So nobody is better than another. You know, none of us are better. Somebody said none of us are better than the rest of us, maybe worse. So we are should have love for one another and want to encourage one another. So he says, as he said, above all things, when he said the ends of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So use hospitality one to another without grudging. So he goes on, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And so this is what we should be doing as people of God. And so not the foolishness of the world. And so God put an end to that, you know, because too many times people are just thinking about the smart people. And so why is the world in so much trouble when you have all of these so-called intellectuals? And so that's why Paul was saying the preaching of the Christ is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is written, I would destroy the wisdom of the wise. I would bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? This is the question. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's why he said, you see your calling, brother, and how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, Apostle Paul was an exception. He was a wise man. And he said, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things that are despised have God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so that quote is in the book of Jeremiah. And so thank God. So this is what we should do. Nobody's better than nobody else. There's going to be a lot of people that got their nose turned up at folks right now, going to be in a pit of hell. Everybody, every nasty spirit, every foul person, those that hate each other and all are going to all be in a lake of fire together. So that ain't going to be no good picture. So thing is to humble yourself, like Peter said, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he's no match for God. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He goes on to say, resist steadfast in the faith. So we have to realize the enemy is the devil. The enemy is not your brother. The enemy is not your sister. The enemy is not your husband. The enemy is not your wife. The enemy is not your brother. The enemy is not your father. The enemy is not your mother, not your cousin. The enemy is the devil. He hates us all. So that's what people need to realize, need to take hold of, get a hold of, and realize who the enemy is. Is the devil. We're not. That's what Paul said. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, I mean, some things need to be, we need to be redundant about some things and repetition. Because some of the writers were saying the same thing. That's why James said the same thing. God resisteth the proud. He gives grace unto the humble. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So that they both are saying the same thing. So we have to realize what time it is, and I mean, this is, it's humbling, it is mind-boggling, because I remember when I came in 1976, and I mean, these same scriptures that we are going over right now, you know, we are in the last time, we are in the last days, and it was wicked, and people used to say, and numbers of them are in their graves. They're asleep in Jesus. Used to say, we're living in a dark day. We're living in the last and evil days. And truth, they were telling, it is the truth. And it was dark then, but it's even darker now. I mean, this is so much foolishness going on. People don't even really understand. It's a wicked, Jesus said, and perverse generation. And people are doing all kinds of things. Unbelievable. And I mean, who would have thunk? And I mean, that ain't good English. Call it whatever you want. But who would have thunk? Nobody. That they would have passed a law. Same-sex marriage. Unbelievable, but was done right before our eyes. And so it was a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court, I believe, in 2016. So it is what it is. But as far as God is concerned, it means nothing. You can't marry two hard legs, can't marry each other, and that's men. Some people say hard ankle, hard legs. Two women cannot marry each other, not as far as God is concerned. It is illegal procedure. That's what a lawyer would have told you many years ago. You can't marry somebody that's still married. You'd be committing bigamy. You can't marry somebody of another, of the same gender, because it's illegal procedure. You can't marry somebody that is not divorced because you'd be marrying somebody else's wife, and so, or someone else's husband. So it is. It stinks in the sight of God. God made woman for man. And so, just like he said, as it was in the days of Noah. And so men's are set on evil. So some people, all they want to do is they all they're thinking about is that dollar. And there's so much money, God knows what's going on. So much going on in the world. Ain't no war going to stop. I mean, this is a free world. You can travel abroad. If you want to move to another country, you can. You just have to become a citizen of that country at the appointed time. This is what people have been doing for years, scores, and centuries. So, I mean, so you just can't. It's God's world. 24th Psalm, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Nobody can dictate who can do what. If they don't have a world to invite somebody in or put somebody out of. So, I mean, sure, there's things that have happened. For the most part, everyone is not a criminal. You know, he has a bad apple. It could be, in some cases, there are, but can't just make everyone stereotype everyone, and that's what has been done too much with people. It's like they said, how would a rapist look? How would a thief look? A murderer or whatever? And that, you know, these different pictures, like an alcoholic and all this kind of stuff. No, anybody is capable of doing anything, so you can't just stereotype one race of people and say, you know, he's a murderer, he would be a thief. No, everybody your color ain't your kind. So whatever color you are, everybody your color ain't your kind. So things happen. Everyone is an individual. I mean, people say things like about men cheating. I mean, everybody is an individual. So the Bible don't talk. I mean, they need to read the Proverbs, the 6th and the 7th chapter. So, I mean, the Bible talks about women when it comes to cheating more than it does men. So, I mean, everyone is an individual. Every man is not a cheater. Every woman is not a cheater. There are many and plenty good men. There are many and plenty good women. There are some that are cheaters, both men and women. So that's not a fair shake, you know, because they ain't doing it by themselves. So it's just ridiculous. Everyone is an individual. So you can't judge everybody that, you know, this little foolishness. Why do men cheat? It ain't just men. It's whoever decides to not be faithful, be it male or female, men or women. So that is the kind of world that we are living in. So it behooves us. You watch. You pray. You make sure you get somebody. You ask God to give you a spouse. And I'm saying, I'm talking to me too. So that's what we have to do as individuals. Watch unto the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So be sober minded. So people, it's amazing because people have you know, they could tell you about something that happened, but, I mean, we have to be careful. We could tell, you know, because we can try, and I'm saying people because I've had it to try to happen to me, but I thwarted it. Thank God he thwarted it, and that is we try to manipulate people, and then we get mad if they don't fall for the foolishness. That's not the way it goes. Like, no, I'm not going to be, I mean, get made out of a, I don't care who I am. At this stage, I'm not going to get made, manipulated, and get made out of a fool, not by God's grace, if I could help it. And so people do things, so we want to use people to benefit us when you got to realize that we are people, kingdom people, kingdom. Like we say, some people say when you connect with people on certain social medias. They say Kingdom Connection. That is what we should be. And so don't be looking at everybody cross-eyed, but everybody should not be suspect. So that's what we do. No, just be careful. Just watch and praise what you do. You judge everyone as an individual. So that's, I learned that growing up in the good old USA, as they say, United States of America. You learn to treat everyone as an individual, be it whatever their nationality, their race, creed, or color, as we would say. It does not matter. Treat everyone as an individual. So that's exactly what I do. So I don't care who it is. I mean, you could disrespect somebody. You could look just like them. That is not right. And that don't give you a pass. So you judge everyone. You treat everyone as an individual is what we should do. So he says, having fervent charity. So that's the Holy Ghost. That's the God. That's the Holy Ghost. God's agape love in us when he's talking about having fervent charity. And this is the end. So you want to do right, you want to treat people right, just like they say, the first and great commandment. So you can't throw that out. So he's saying, love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That's vertical, up and down. And so if you do that, and the second, love thy neighbor as thyself, on these two, he goes on to say, hang all the law and the prophets. So if you love the Lord as you should and love your neighbor as yourself, then you are going to be in good shape. Because if you love him like you should, like he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And baptism is a commandment. So when he came on the scene, John the Baptist, Jesus, both of them had the same message, repent. And believe the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the worst sin that you could commit is not repenting, not getting baptized in the name of Jesus, not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, which is the promise that they received on the day of Pentecost when it was fully come. They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and handmaids I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So we end right there, because you go into another dispensation if you go any further. So God's a time clock. Time is short, as Paul said to the Corinthian church. Peter says the end of all things is at hand. And what's so amazing about this, he wrote this centuries ago, and it is so relevant today. So this is why he was saying about us submitting ourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And he goes on to say, God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. This quote comes out of Proverbs. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, as which I quoted this earlier, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, which simply means he's our adversary, he is no match for God, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He goes on here, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And he goes on to say, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. That's the office of sonship. That after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So this is what we have to realize. And I think, let's see, I have a call here. Let me go. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on Truth Ministry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had a question. It's like,
yeah, go ahead, because our time is short.
Okay. My question is there a false version of the God of Abraham in this world at
no,
this present
there's
moment?
Only one God. He is the God of all flesh.
Oh, is there a
flesh.
Version? A version. That means that there would be a true God. Is there a false version of the God of Abraham? That's the question.
Meaning you're talking about a group of people, or you're talking about a God?
Talking about a belief system. Talking about a belief system. I accept that there is a God.
Yes.
I want to know, is there a fake version of God?
No.
No.
To answer, no, there wouldn't be a fake version of God. It would be more than anything would be to get an understanding that it is the self-same God, the God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of all flesh. I'm getting a little feedback. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I still hear you.
Yeah, so he is the same God. So the gospel was actually preached unto Abraham. So he is the seed. He is the father of faith. Is who he is, and so God is the same God. So the gospel was preached unto Abraham. So that is the same gospel that he talked about in the book of Romans 4:17. Even God which quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So it's the same God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he was Jehovah. He had many names, but the name Jesus, the Christ, is Jehovah, who has become our salvation. So it's for everyone. That's why I was talking about he is the God of all flesh.
Okay, is there such thing as like a Gucci bag? Is there a fake version of a Gucci bag?
Yes, no doubt.
Okay, there's fake versions of the Gucci bag. Is there a systematic religious thought in this world where there's a lot of blindness, where people are being called out of her, called out of something? Is there a fake version of God's truth in this world in the present? That's my question.
Yes, there could be, because the gospel is a simple gospel. The gospel is a simple gospel, which in the church age started on the day of Pentecost, so that would be called the apostolic doctrine, which was first given to the, when he came to the Jews first, but the gospel is not just to the Jews, but to everyone that believes. So Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. There's a group of people calling themselves the Black Hebrews. There's so much going on, but the flesh don't profit nothing. That's what he talked about during his earthly ministry. But my time is almost gone. I got to get ready to go off the air.
Of the truth
would you call
of God.
Me back?
I'm talking about the theology of the false version of God. That's what I'm looking for. Like, what I've heard is that, you know, 300 years after Jesus was killed by the Romans, a Roman emperor, Constantine, had this council, and they put together a New Testament, and it was 300 years after Rome had killed the Son of God.
Yes, that was the Catholic Church.
So when you think about how...
Yeah, what I'm saying is, can you call me back on next week, because I got to go off of the air. I got to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Could you call me back on next week? My time is up.
Okay, they give you a little overtime, though. You get like an hour.
No, I know how much time I got. I know how much time I allotted myself. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
So call me back
on
next week.
What time?
Call me back on next week at between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, cool.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@atg.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God.